This is Roro's Rantings with Israel activist and advocate Rolene Marx.
Good afternoon, Rolene. How are you doing?
Well, you're forgiven, Paul. What can I say?
We endeavor and we strive to only make the same mistake once. As a married man, there's actually no upside in making the same mistake over and over again. But I hope you're feeling better.
Well, your wife's got you well trained. But on a sad note to start the week off, and this is breaking news. In fact, it hasn't made the English press yet, but in from the Israeli press, and that is news of the passing of Rona Ramon. Rona Ramon was the widow of the first Israeli astronaut Ilan Ramon and the mother of pilot Asaf Ramon, who was killed in a training accident. And she passed away moments ago from a serious illness. She was 54 years old, and she was a much beloved citizen of Israel. In fact, in 2006, she lit a torch on Independence Day. And in September of this year, she inaugurated a pre-military preparatory program named after her son Asaf, and may her memory just be for a blessing.
Amen. And here at Chai FM, we obviously send our condolences to the family. Rolene, we touched earlier on the release of the report from the IDF, the investigation into how was it possible that a bus came into range of anti-tank missile last month on the Gaza border. You've got some more on that story for us?
Okay, so let's recap. A bus was hit by an anti-tank missile on the day that we saw the worst escalation between Gaza and Israel, some 460 rockets and mortars fired from Gaza to Israel in a 24-hour period, and one of them hitting a bus. And the army opens investigations into all kinds of incidents, especially ones like this. And what has passed the military censor is that we know that it was a Cornet anti-tank guided missile which hit this park, which was parked at the Black Arrow Memorial site next to the border with the northern Gaza Strip. Now, prior to that, the bus had been filled with soldiers, but all had disembarked momentarily before the attack occurred. One soldier who was still on board was seriously injured in the missile strike. Now, the question is, how did this bus get so far? Because a number of roadblocks were set up by the military police in the area around the site. So the army knew that attacks along the border were possibly given the heightened tensions in the area. But this bus was allowed through these roadblocks, and why? Also of concern is other military vehicles and soldiers who were similarly unprotected from anti-tank missiles were in the area. And apparently this is in violation of military protocol. So this is under investigation, and we want to know why this has happened. In the meantime, the commander of the Northern Gaza Regional Brigade, his name is Colonel Avi Rosenfeld, has received official censure, as has the head of the regional battalion and two companies commanders. They haven't been dismissed from their positions, but they are under investigation and under serious censure as to how they allowed not only a civilian vehicle to come through, but our soldiers to be in the region unprotected. One of the fathers, in fact, the father of the injured soldier, has asked the military, "Why was my son there? I don't understand what they were doing by the border. They took them to the border and lined them up like sitting ducks." So we're going to follow this investigation quite closely. You know, if you have been to the region, you will know how close and how in how short the distance is for soldiers or civilians or anybody who is unprotected from rockets and projectiles and any kind of missiles that are coming over the border into the area.
Yes. So, as you said, Rolene, this is an ongoing story. There's still some questions left unanswered and families that want answers. So another interesting story we have here today, the United Nations Commission for the Status of Women has voted that the top violator of women's rights globally is Israel. And
well, as you can imagine, I've been waiting for the story with my soapbox in hand. Mm. I cannot wait to get my claws into this one. But as you mentioned, they voted that Israel is the number one violator of women's rights in the world today. And I want to speak first as an Israeli woman and our rights in this country and the status of women in this country, given that I sit on the executive of a women's organization that works for the improvement of the status of women and has representatives at the United Nations, and that is WETA. And second of all, let's take a look at the status of some of our sisters, not just in the region, but around the world. So first of all, they have called into question the status of women in the state of Israel. And they say, why? Because we violate the rights of Palestinian women. Let's be very clear. Palestinian women are citizens of Gaza and the West Bank and are subject to the treatment of Hamas in Gaza. And let's have a little chat about that treatment, Paul. Let's talk about the fact that there are honor killings. Let's talk about the fact that women do not have a voice. They are suppressed. In fact, last year, a TV station was scheduled to be opened with women's programming, and that was shut down quite succinctly by Hamas, and their reason for that was, oh well, the women's network does not have a license to broadcast. There are no women participating in the upper echelons of politics as there are in Israel from all walks of life, including the Jewish community. There is no freedom of movement for women in the Gaza Strip. And let's take a look at women who become suicide bombers. They don't become suicide bombers because ideologically they feel the need to blow themselves up. They often, more often than not, become suicide bombers or terrorists or attack in some way as a retribution to make up for a perceived ill that they have committed against the males of their family. Now let's have a look at women in the West Bank. Women in the West Bank don't fare very much better under the leadership of the Palestinian Authority. I think with the exception of Hanan Ashrawi, who is the spokesperson for the Palestinian Authority, we don't see women playing an important role. Now let's have a look at the role of women in Israel, and women from all sectors of society, including minority communities, are present in the government. Is the situation for women sunshine, lollipops and roses? No, it's not. And we work very, very hard to improve the conditions of women, especially the status of women. And this was evident just 2 weeks ago in 20,000 of representatives, again, from all walks of society, including Arab Muslims, Druze, Christians, and religious Jews, marching for not only more attention from our government on the issues surrounding domestic violence, but also an increasing budget to go to this fight. Women have a voice. Women are represented in all aspects of society, from the government to the military to business. We even have women from minority communities where the tradition is largely patriarchal, having increased importance in the status of women in this country. So I would ask the UN, why have they not turned their microscopes to areas like Syria? Should we talk about Syria, Paul?
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Syria, Rolene, because the Commission on the Status of Women, the UN apparently top women's rights body, that issued this rebuke to Israel. Syria is one of the members of that body, and there are some other members and other member countries that I'm sure you could also point out that the records on women's rights are patchy at best.
Patchy at best, but let's have a look at them. Saudi Arabia. Should we talk about Saudi Arabia? If women are physically punished if they're not wearing compulsory clothing, I mean, it's just clothing. It's just recent that women have been allowed to drive, albeit with a male chaperone. Let's talk about Iran, where every woman is registered as a presidential candidate and have been disqualified. Adultery, and this is only adultery as committed by women, is punishable by death by stoning. And women who fight back against their attackers or their rapists are executed. Let's look at women again in the Middle East and talk about honor killings. If a woman is raped, it's absolutely her fault. She has brought disgrace upon the family and must either pay with her life or must be disfigured. Or we can talk about women in North Africa, where genital mutilation is still a practice that happens. We can also talk about the Yazidi women. Yazidi women are Christian women in the Middle East. Many of them have been kidnapped and used as sex slaves by members of ISIS. We can also take a look around the world, the status of women in India, where the statistics for gang rapes are exorbitantly high. And yet the United Nations, with their obsession on the state of Israel, have chosen to focus on the status of women in Israel and say that we are the world's greatest violator. I mean, don't even get me started on this. There is not a soapbox big enough to contain my ire and disgust at these comments from the United Nations.
Wow. Yes, but I think we certainly got an idea and a précis of some of the hypocrisy that continues to go on in geopolitics. And then lastly, some more positive news, Rolien. We were talking about this last week. Australia has recognized West Jerusalem as Israel's capital. We weren't sure last week if the official recognition would apply to the whole city, to West Jerusalem. That's been confirmed now.
It has been confirmed, and it is historical if we look at it in context. And the reason is because no other country has to justify its capital except for the state of Israel. South Africa, even with our apartheid past, has not had to justify that we had Pretoria as a capital. Other countries around the world, the United States does not have to justify Washington, and Australia do not have to justify Canberra as the capital. But when it comes to Israel, again, that word that you used, hypocrisy, applies, and Australia recognizing West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And as you can imagine, this has annoyed some members of the government, including Prime Minister Netanyahu, who were expecting that the whole of Jerusalem would be recognized. And some people have responded on social media saying, well, perhaps we only should recognize Northern Canberra as the capital of Australia. But it is still a historical recognition by Australia, and we really, really hope more countries follow.
Well, that's what we got time for today, Rolien. It's same time tomorrow, same place.
Same time, same place, hopefully in better voice.
We wish you a refuah shalema and that you're over the worst. We'll get a full dose tomorrow, and hopefully you're on the mend.